President Truman announces his decision to the American people.
I have therefore considered it essential to relieve General MacArthur so that there would be no doubt or confusion as to the real purpose and aim of our policy. It is with the deepest personal regret that I found myself compelled to take this action. General MacArthur is one of our greatest military commanders, but the cause of world peace is much more important than any individual.
After an absence of 15 years, MacArthur has returned. His presence ignites a tumultuous reaction, and now he states the reasons for his actions with familiar eloquence.
If it be that my relief was the spark which ignited this great power of American public expression, which caused our people to unite in a common crusade to effect a spiritual renaissance in American life, which provided the symbol for rallying the mighty forces for good throughout the land, then I would be thankful indeed to a far-seeing and merciful God and could ask for no more.
A man who has devoted his life to the military, to relieve the command usually carries the stigma of public disgrace. But for General Douglas MacArthur, his return becomes a personal triumph.
The world has turned over many times since I took the oath on the plane at West Point, and the hopes and dreams have long since vanished. But I still remember the refrain of one of the most popular barrack ballads of that day, which proclaimed most proudly that old soldiers never die. They just fade away. And like the old soldier of that ballad, I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him the light to see that duty. Goodbye.
For Harry Truman, the MacArthur controversy was the ultimate challenge of his personal strength. But driven by an ingrained sense of integrity, courage, and conviction, Truman refused to back down. Strong men, it is said, live by strong deeds.
It is not a question of who wants war and who wants peace. All men of good conscience earnestly seek peace. The method alone is the issue. Some, with me, would achieve peace through a prompt and decisive victory and a saving of human life. Others, through appeasement and compromise of moral principle, with less regard for human life. The one course follows our great American tradition. The other can but lead to unending slaughter and our country's moral debasement.
We have been urged to take measures which would spread the fighting in the Far East. We've been told that this would bring the Korean conflict to a speedy conclusion, that it would save the lives of our troops. In my judgment, that just isn't true. All of us wish that no Americans had to fight or die. But by fighting on a limited scale now, we may be able to prevent a third world war later on. Remember this. If we do have another world war, it will be an atomic war. We could expect many atomic bombs to be dropped on American cities. And a single one of them could cause many more times the casualties than we have suffered in all the fighting in Korea. I do not want to be responsible for bringing that about.
In the years which followed, Douglas MacArthur never questioned the president's authority to relieve him of command. He knew the political battlefield is a forbidden area to the American soldier, but he was fighting for a principle, and he refused to stop short of victory. Truman's decision prompted one of the most savage attacks of public opinion ever directed against a president. He bore this burden calmly. To Truman, conviction was more important than criticism.